How's everybody this morning? You all have a good Christmas? Did you eat lots of food? Did you get lots of good gifts? How many men got some toys to play with? Come on, men are just boys with bigger toys or something, I don't know. Praise the Lord. I want to mention something this morning that just speaks to me of a miracle. 23 years ago today, here in this very house, Ramon and Marcia Foysch were remarried after a failed divorce. And I just found that at the time. I remember thinking, this is a miracle. God has put something back together again that seemed hopelessly broken. And I think that can speak to all of our lives, that there may be situations in your life that seem hopelessly broken, but God can come and restore, repair, and put back in His divine order. Amen? There's nothing impossible with our God. So, with that, I'm having a lot of echoing. I've titled what I want to share this morning, Weaned or Weenie. Are you going to allow yourself to be weaned, or are you going to continue to be a weenie? Now, that'll make more sense, hopefully, as we go on. Now, an alternate title would be Winner or Whiner. You can be a winner, or you can just keep on whining. Right? Come on, I need a little feedback here. I know you're tired from Christmas, but many times I think at this time of year, I mean, this is the last Sunday of the year 2018. So 2018 is largely behind us, and we're looking into the face of a new year. And it's many times at this time of year, many people will often begin to think about their lives. How did it go in 2018? And is there something I want to do different in 2018? And we begin to make New Year's resolutions. And I do believe it can be a time of recommitment, a time of renewal, a time of reflection. I think it's good sometimes to reflect on our lives and how have we lived our lives. In fact, one of the best things you can do is reflect back on what God has done in the previous year. Because if you look at the victories, if you look back on what God has done, that gives you a sense of hope into the new year. Amen? God can do it in the past. God can do it in the present. God can do it in the future. Do we believe that? How many have made New Year's resolutions? How many have a New Year's resolution they'd be willing to share with us this morning? Michael's the only one? Okay, Mike, you're going to have to come up here. You're way in the back. Oh, there's Tracy. Okay. I'll come over there in a minute, Tracy. Okay, what is your New Year's resolution for 2019?
Walking up to the microphone and not be afraid to speak in front of my family. I think that was the hardest thing to do.
You did it. Now, that's the resolution that you can fulfill right away and go under this year and do what you want.
This year has been awesome. We've dealt with a lot of things and family trials and everything, and I've seen the other side of it, thank God. But my New Year's resolution for 2019 is I want to re-sign up for falling in love with Jesus even more than I was before, and I'm praying and believing that that's going to stick, because I know when we make resolutions, it lasts for maybe a couple of days or a week, and this one I want to stick.
Amen. 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 I want to pray for Tracy. Every time I see her and I see the oxygen she's on, I pray for God to heal and deliver. So how about a lady or two over here? Let's just pray for Tracy. Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you would deliver Tracy from this need for oxygen, that you would heal her body completely, Father,
that you would restore her cardiovascular system, her heart, or any part of her lungs, whatever part of her body is an issue, God, you can heal it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The doctors may or may not have solutions, but you have solutions. And so we ask right now, God, for you to heal, deliver, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Okay, but John has a resolution.
Well, my resolution is to follow through on what the Lord gave me to move into this new phase of life in 2019. And I call it refirement, not retirement. And it's an exciting time because what does God have for me and my family in the second half of life? And it's already shaping up to be real exciting. I've got 10 specific things the Lord gave me in November and December of 2017 to move into 2019. And I'm seeing the transition and the framework being laid for them. Of course, one of the key ones there is awakening revival and the purposes of God coming to our community, that it wouldn't just impact a few Christians, but it would be a community-wide impact. And I'm believing and praying into that.
Amen. 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 Very good. Thank you very much. I have one unspoken New Year's resolution, and that is to make a new start on old habits. I mean, why rock the boat, right? Actually, I do have a New Year's resolution. I just forgot my New Year's resolution. Can you believe that? Anyway, for those techies out there, my New Year's resolution is 1024 by 768. All right, just went right over your heads. Okay. That's good. I have resolved to exercise my right to eat more in 2019. Anyway, all joking aside, I think there's something significant in the eyes of God about times and seasons, new beginnings, new starts in life. If you go back and you look at the scriptures, it was God who set the sun and moon in place to mark times and seasons. And just look at creation. It was the idea of days and months and years, that was God's concept. You get up every day and the sun rises and there's a certain newness about the day, and then it goes down at night and it renews itself in the morning and we have a new day with new hope. Over and over again in Scripture, we just see this idea. And I think it is okay to look forward to a new season in our lives. But first of all, before I talk about that, I want to first encourage those who might be going through a very difficult season right now, and they struggle with looking to the future with hope. I know I've been through some very difficult seasons in my life, and some of those seasons lasted a very long time. You know, if we go with a problem for 2 days, we're ready to be done with it, right? But I've had seasons go on for months and years and many years at times. And regardless of how hard your season might be, or regardless of how long your season might be, Paul reminds us of this in Galatians 6:9. He says, we are not to lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Did you hear what Paul is saying there? Let us not lose heart in doing good, even in the midst of troubles and problems, for in due time we will reap if what? We do not grow weary. We want to reap the blessings of God in every season of our lives. So if you're in a difficult season and you want to reap, Paul's encouragement here is to continue to do good, to persevere, and to not allow yourself to grow weary. Right? Because in God, there is always hope. And there are new seasons that come. Paul said in Philippians, he talked about forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting what lies behind and what? Waiting for what? The future? What does Paul say? Press in or reach forward to what lies ahead. Take a hold of the destiny that the Lord has for you. In Lamentations, it says, the loving kindnesses and compassions of God are what? New and fresh every morning. Every morning we can wake up with a new sense of hope. Actually, I'm using the wrong mic. There you go. I got two mics going. Sorry, Jeremy. That's okay. I lost my mind. I believe that there's an area of your life in which there's no hope, that you've believed the lie. You've believed the lie about God, you've believed the lie about yourself, or you've believed the lie about others, or you've believed the lie about your circumstances. Because in Christ Jesus, there is always hope. In fact, God is the God of hope. In Romans 15, 13, it says, now may the God of what? Hope. Now may the God of what? Hope fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you're ever struggling with hopelessness, reflect upon that verse. In fact, memorize that verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how I work through situations in my life where I'm battling with hopelessness or depression or despair, whatever it is. I go back to the Word of God and I renew my mind with the Word of God. I think it's important, particularly in the midst of difficulties, to keep our focus on the goodness and the love of God and not on the problems. Too many times we focus on the problems in life instead of seeing what God is doing in the midst of the situation we're in. In fact, I want to encourage some of us. Some of us are so focused on our problems that that's all we see. And that's all we talk about. We're so focused on our life and our problems. I think one of the greatest remedies for getting out of that situation and truly seeing a new season in your life is to stop focusing inward on yourself and begin to focus outward on God and others. Begin to ask God, what does he want to do with someone else here in this congregation or a friend of yours? Or whatever. God, what do you want to do in our life? How can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I release living water? Regardless of how I feel, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is within me and there's wells of living water inside of me. How can I release that to be a blessing to others? And I believe that oftentimes you will find God answering our prayers, not because we're going, God, help, God, help, God, help, but because we turn ourselves away from our problems and we focus on the Lord and we want to be a blessing to others. And it's in the midst of that that God brings answers to our own difficulties and situations. I would encourage us in this new year, instead of making resolutions, to consider this, to ask God what he wants to do in 2019 in you, for you, and through you. What does God want to do in this new year in you? God wants to bring change into our lives. He wants to change our hearts, our affections. He wants to renew our mind. What does God want to do in you? What does God want to do for you? I believe God wants to work on our behalf. He wants to set us free. He wants us to move into new areas of life. He wants us to move ahead in him. What does God want to do in you? What is God want to do for you? And what does God want to do through you? How can I release those wells of living water to bless others? Too often, I think we're focused more inward than outward. I want to learn to be a blessing. I want to learn, do I or do I not have the Holy Spirit living in me? Does that make a difference or not? Is that significant or not? Why aren't we jumping up and down over that? Well, that means there's a rich deposit of life inside of me that wants to get out. And I want to learn how to release that and be a blessing to others. And I think all three of those areas are important. What does God want to do in you? What does he want to do for you? What does he want to do through you? Instead of making resolutions, why don't you ask God to show you the answer to those three questions? Amen? All right, I want to look into this new year by looking at Psalm 131. It's only three verses long, but I want to look at each of the three verses. Psalm 131, starting with verse 1, it says this, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty.
nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. Verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. So I want to look at each one of those verses individually. I want to start with verse 1, but I want to reread verse 1 in the Passion Bible, and it says this. It says, Lord, I am content to not pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I am not yet ready to understand. First of all, I do not believe David, who wrote this psalm, is saying that God is against us using our minds, our intellect, our rational thought, or our reason. After all, God is a God of reality. He's a God of facts. He's a God of science. He's a God of history. You and I do not need to be afraid of what science discovers. God is a God of science. Bill Maher, how many are familiar with Bill Maher, TV personality that all of us should look to for spiritual guidance? He says this, a rational person with a rational mind would reject religion. A rational person with a rational mind would reject religion. You cannot be religious and be rational. Now, I personally believe that Bill Maher's conclusions are irrational. Because he does not understand God. He does not understand the ways of God, even though he can quote you the Bible. Hello? You can know the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. So he doesn't know God, he doesn't know the ways of God, and he doesn't know the eternal, he doesn't know eternity. He's not had an encounter with the living Christ. I heard this recently, somebody said that eternity is the cornerstone of all logic and reason. Eternity is the cornerstone of all logic and reason. When we lose sight of eternity, we come to conclusions that are temporary and do not last, or we come to conclusions that are just plain fake, and instead of releasing life, they bring death into the situation. That's what happens when we lose sight of eternity. And I believe much of the world has lost sight of eternity. Reason and faith are not at odds with one another. You know, some people say that faith is a leap into the dark. I would say that faith is a step into the light of God. All right? Don't be ashamed of faith. Evolution is a theory. It takes faith to believe it. Don't be afraid of stepping into the light of God. In Romans 12, 2, it says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed. How do we avoid being conformed to this world? By allowing God to do what? Transform us by the process of renewing our minds, changing our minds, changing our understanding of life and the way we see life and our perspective. And what does that result in? Us, the will of God being worked out, proving the will of God, walking out the will of God in our lives, and the will of God is always good, acceptable, and perfect. Right? To have a proper perspective on the issues of life, our minds must be renewed by God's truth, or we will not have a proper perspective on life, and we will come to temporary conclusions or conclusions that are actually more harmful than good. When we approach God with an unrenewed mind, we are in danger of creating a God that looks like us. When we approach God with an unrenewed mind, we are in danger of shaping God in our image instead of allowing Him to shape us into His image. So first of all, God is not saying that we cannot use our minds or our intellect or our reason. And secondly, if I am only willing to obey God with what I understand, I am going to limit God in my life. Hello? If I'm only willing to obey God with what I understand, I'm going to limit God in my life. Not understanding something is okay, but to restrict our walk of faith to what we understand is not okay. We do not believe because we understand. We understand because we believe. That's the essence of revelation. We do not... We do not believe because we understand. We understand because we believe. And when we just order our lives around what we understand, we end up subjecting God to our judgments. Does that make sense? When we order our lives only around what we understand, we subject God to our judgments. In other words, we take a great big God, we put him in the little box, and we've made him small like us. Right? Because we subjected him to our judgments and our understanding, failing to recognize that our minds are finite and his mind is infinite. I do believe, though, that God is looking for obedience from us in circumstances, even when they seem to contradict our understanding of God or life. Obedience does not always require understanding. A verse that I think is really important is Matthew 7:7. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Ask, seek, knock. I believe this is how we gain revelation, by asking and seeking and knocking on the doors of heaven. If I'm not willing to pursue God by asking and seeking and knocking, I'm not going to fulfill my full potential in Christ. I'm going to live short of the purposes that God has for my life. To have questions is healthy, but to hold God hostage to those questions is not. Hello? I don't have any problem having questions. I have lots of questions to ask God when I see him, but I'm not going to hold him hostage to those questions. I'm going to continue to believe in the goodness and kindness of God. The walk of faith is to live by the revelation we have with the mysteries that we cannot explain. The walk of faith is to live by the revelation we have with the mysteries we cannot explain. And I do believe that we can live with mystery and still have absolute faith and confidence in God. Listen to this verse, incredible verse, Deuteronomy 29:29. It says this, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God." What is that saying? That there are things you don't understand. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. God holds us accountable to walk and obey the revelation we have been given, and I also believe we have a responsibility to grow in that revelation as we ask, seek, knock, and pursue the Lord. All right, verse 2 of Psalm 131. "Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me." I think we all understand that the weaning process is that of a child learning to eat food other than his or her mother's milk. The child has learned to be content without the milk that seemed so indispensable just a short time before. It's a picture of a child growing in maturity, but also a picture, I believe, of spiritual growth that we need to embrace as Christians. Paul offers this warning in Hebrews 5, verse 13. He says this, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." Many times the word of righteousness, the word of God, is offensive to us because we're stuck on drinking milk and we're not willing to allow God to wean us and to begin to eat the solid food of righteousness. But solid food is for the who? Mature, who because of what? Practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What does practice mean? Do it over and over and over. I'm going to read the word over and over again and get it in my mind. I'm going to pray and worship over and over again. I'm going to declare truth over my life over and over again so that my senses are trained to discern good and evil. The psalmist, I believe, as you look at this psalm here, has learned to rest in the revelation of God's love without the need to understand everything, but to live with the mysteries of heaven. He's okay with mystery. He's okay with situations that make no sense to his natural mind or to his understanding of God. He's able to be at peace like a weaned child leaning against his mother. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 are very verses that we're familiar with, but I think they're significant. The writer of Proverbs here says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on what? Our understanding, which is often incomplete and faulty, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You want to go down the straight path? Trust in the Lord and do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all that you do, and He will make your path straight. Amen? All right, Psalm 131, verse 3. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. First thing, if you look at this verse, the psalmist saw himself as a member, a part of a larger worshiping community. O Israel, hope in the Lord. He's speaking to the entire community of the nation of Israel. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another. Do you understand what that verse says? We're part of one body. And we are individually members of one another. We're interconnected spiritually. It's incredibly significant to our life as a believer. We need to get away from this nonsense today that I can sit at home in my house and follow God by myself. I don't need anybody else. That's a bunch of baloney. When you were born again, you were baptized into the body of Christ. The many-membered body of Christ. And we're members of one another. We're united together in Christ to walk together with a common vision and also to support and lift up one another. We are a people. We're the people of God. We are a family. God's not called us to walk alone. Sometimes when we get into difficult situations, we disappear. Right? We go into seclusion. What happened to so-and-so? I haven't seen them for a while. And we come to find out they're going through a difficulty in their life. And instead of that being a time of opening up and sharing and getting prayer and encouragement and sitting in anointed worship, we withdraw. But we need to see the importance of walking together. Ephesians 4:16 says, the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. You are a joint in the body of Christ. And the whole body is fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. What is your joint supplying to the life of the body of Christ? According to the proper working of each individual part, would you speak to me the fact that I have some responsibility to make sure my individual part is working right? That doesn't mean I have my life together all the time. That doesn't mean I don't have problems. It means, though, when I have a problem, I turn to the Lord and I seek counsel, advice, and prayer and support from other members in the body of Christ. According to the proper working of each individual part, which causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When we are facing difficult situations, we do not need to walk through them alone. We're members of one another. We're here to encourage one another and support each other. So the psalmist here is speaking to the whole community. And then I believe that he's exhorting all Israel to have confidence in God or to hope in God. Hope is an incredibly important word biblically. It speaks of waiting on the Lord with the expectation of some resolution to what we're waiting for. It speaks of waiting on the Lord with the expectation of some resolution to what we are waiting for. Pastor Tony talked a while back by waiting. Waiting on the Lord is not doing nothing. It's actively pursuing God in prayer and worship, His Word. It's asking, seeking, and knocking on the doors of heaven. Psalm 71:14 says, "But as for me, I will hope." What? How am I going to hope? Continually. In the good times. Right? No, continually. It would be good times, bad times, whatever times. But as for me, I will hope continually and will yet praise you more and more. Bible hope is different from the way we use the word hope today. And I think that's one of the reasons that we get ourselves confused. Biblical hope does not express uncertainty, and it is not wishful imagination. Chris Vallotton said this, "Biblical hope is not based in fantasy, it is based in the reality of another kingdom." Hello? I can have hope because that hope is not founded in this world, it's founded in the reality of another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And I believe hope is an important element in our faith, our walk with the Lord. Psalm 42:5 says this, "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" I love these verses for David when he begins to speak to his own soul. Do you ever speak to your soul? You get into a place where your mind keeps going over and over and over and over and over something? Maybe an offense or my problem. Oh, what am I going to do? I got to pay my bill. Oh, soul, shut up. "Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me?" This world and the problems of this world will disturb my soul. "But I will not despair." Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His" what? "Presence." In this particular verse, it's not speaking of a fix to what we're hoping for, but finding peace in the presence of God in the middle of our difficulties. The peace isn't founded in God fixing the issue I'm dealing with. It's founded in me experiencing the reality of God's presence in my life, and out of that encounter with Him comes peace. I think, perhaps, hopefully, how many have read the book of Job? Oh, wow, I'm surprised. I once did a one-year Bible study on Job. Can you imagine coming to a Bible study for an entire year on the book of Job? Now, if you remember Job, I won't go into the whole story because it's kind of long and complicated, but Job was afflicted with all these boils and sores and open, festering boils all over his body, and he's trying to deal with these boils, and he's in a great deal of pain. then his children and their families are all killed in an accident. His wife turns to him and says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Not a good day. But look at what Job says in Job 13, 15. This is an incredible verse. He says, though he slay me, who's he? Though God slay me, I will what? Hope in him. If I die from these boils, I will hope in God. The fact that you've taken away my family, I will hope in God. Nevertheless, this is what's really important, I will argue my ways before him. Job is completely trusting God for the outcome, whatever it is, but in the meantime, he's going to plead his case before the Lord. He's going to cry out to God constantly, God, heal me. God, set me free. God, deliver me. God, provide for me. But in the end, he puts his trust and confidence in God with the outcome. That's the way we need to live our lives. I mean, I believe in the power of faith. I believe that God works miracles. I believe that God heals. I believe God delivers. I believe God sets free. But sometimes the outcome is not always what I want it to be. Am I going to continue to put my hope in God? Or am I going to just, like Job's wife said, curse God and die? I want to learn to keep my hope in the Lord. I believe hope, in a biblical sense, provides the motivation to live a godly life even in the face of trouble. In fact, biblical hope looks beyond the trouble. It sees the next season. It sees over the mountain. Right? Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What does that sentence right there mean? What's the action there? Confessing what? You're in the midst of a desperate situation. What are you confessing? Our hope in God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Christian hope, I believe, is ultimately anchored in the reality that God is going to return for us, that we will be resurrected. It's the certainty of Christ's resurrection, our resurrection in Christ, enables us to live in the here and now with hope, regardless of what's going on in the here and now. In John 3:3, John says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have a future hope which empowers and motivates us to live godly lives now. You understand the importance of hope? We have a future hope that empowers us to live today the godly lives God's called us to live, even in the midst of difficulties and long seasons that might be hard to bear. We hope in the Lord now and forever. All right, just a few concluding thoughts. Actually, quite a few. But it's nice to put the word conclusion in there. People feel like the end is near. The end is near. Regardless of what life throws at us, whether we understand it or not, we need to maintain our confidence in God. Never allow life's difficulties become bigger than God and blind you to his goodness and his loving kindness. Never let the difficulty become so big in front of you that you can't see around it to see the goodness and the loving kindness of God. Hopefully we all know the story of the 12 spies that Moses sent out in the promised land. God had promised Israel that he'd give them this beautiful land, this promising land, land flowing with milk and honey. So they get up to the border of the promised land, and Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land to check it out. Well, as the story goes, 10 of the spies come back and they say, no way. No way, man. No way, Jose. There's giants in the land. There's fortified city. There's armies. There's no way we can go in there and take the land. And two of the spies come back and say, look, God promised this land. We can take it. We can go in. You know, like the 10 spies, we can put difficulties between us and God and say that I am not able. Or like the 2 spies, I can put God between us and the difficulties and say that we are able. What are we going to do? It's interesting. I think what looks impossible to the natural mind, what looks impossible to the natural mind looks possible to the renewed mind. That's why it's so important that we allow God to renew our minds. Because it changes our whole perspective on life. I just remember this. It takes no talent. It takes no skill. It takes no faith to grumble and complain. It takes no talent. It takes no faith. It takes no skill to make accusations against God. God, why didn't you help me? God, where are you? God, you've deserted me. Those are accusations we're throwing up against the Lord. Are we going to allow ourselves to be weaned, or are we going to be a weenie? Are we going to be a winner or a whiner? Those are questions I think we need to ask. I had shared here in the church a couple months ago, and I received an email afterwards by Robert McCowan, who they're not here this morning. I believe they're up at Freedom Christian Center. But coming out of that sermon, I had shared some things that I was wrestling with, and he saw that I was struggling with some problems, and he had just come through a difficult season in his life. And so he sent me an email. And what he said, I think, is very profound, and I want to read it to you. He says this: I began reading the Passion Translation of Psalms. Then I wrote down the verses that spoke to me and my situation. I read through these verses every morning, basically brainwashing myself to get rid of depressing thoughts and emotions. After a time, I began to have hope, and then faith began to grow. Did you hear what he said? He took the Psalms. He happened to use the Passion Translation. He read over them. He took out those Psalms that were speaking to his heart. That's revelation. Ask, seek, knock on the doors of heaven. Read the Scripture. Let God open a Scripture to you, highlight it to you. He wrote them down. Then every morning he went over and read those verses again and again and again. He brainwashed himself with the Word of God. He renewed his mind with the Word of God. And then as a result, hope began to form in his heart, and then faith began to grow. That's a process. You don't get there by sitting on your bum and complaining about your situation. You pursue God. You brainwash yourself with the Word of God. Read the Word. Pray the Word. Meditate on the Word. Reject every thought contrary to the Word of God. Read the Word. Pray the Word. Meditate on the Word. Reject every thought contrary to the Word of God. Build up your faith through the Word of God, prayer, worship. Walk in the authority God's given you. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 54:17. Says this: no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Now listen carefully what it's saying. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. Who's you? No, I think you is God, my personal opinion, but that's the way I would translate it. You and God will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. I'm going to vindicate my children. Now, here's what's important to understand. You cannot stop Satan from forming weapons against you. Hello? But they will not prevail. Because that's our inheritance, and God will vindicate us. So in the new year, I just would encourage us to cast all doubts aside and to put our trust fully in the Lord. I don't often do this, but I have a theme verse or verses for the year 2019. And I would encourage you to maybe find something that God might be speaking to you for this new year. But this is my theme verses for 2019. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Why? You want to know what God's will is for your life? For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. And I believe if we can take a simple portion of Scripture like that and brainwash ourselves with it, renew our minds with it, that we will find ourselves much more successful in the year 2019. Amen? So praise the Lord. You want to have the worship team up? Why don't we have the worship team come up for a minute and send us out with a song? Sometimes I find myself going through life on automatic. I don't take time to smell the roses. I don't see the glory of God in everyday life situations. I believe if we take time to look around and examine our lives, we will see the glory of God throughout our day, throughout our week. I choose to ascribe to God the glory and honor that's through His name. When something happens, I don't go, chance. Just happened. No, I ascribe to God the glory and honor that's due His name. In 2019, I want to see God in my everyday life as I've never seen Him before. I want my, Psalm 42:1? As the deer pants for the running brooks, my soul. So my soul what, pants for you or my soul? I love God. I've walked with God for many years. But sometimes I feel like I lack that panting for the Lord. What drives a deer to the running brook? It's thirst. When I get thirsty, does it drive me? And I'm not talking about physical thirst. When I get thirsty, does it drive me to the brooks of God? The drink of the well of His Word. To experience the presence of anointed worship. To pray. And by prayer, I don't mean constantly sending up your prayer flares. Prayer is a lot more than just petitioning God to do something. Prayer is waiting for God to answer you and to give you prophetic insight and wisdom so that you now have something to declare because you've heard the voice of God. Don't make prayer just a place of you talking all the time. Take time to listen for the voice of God. Write things down. Whenever I'm in a prayer meeting, I listen to what people are praying. Oftentimes what they're praying will speak to my heart, and I'll write it down as a revelation. God anointed, God captured something for me in someone else's prayers. And I write it down and I go over it. I reflect on it. I pray into it. I believe God in 2019 wants to release the prophetic in this congregation beyond anything we've yet seen. And the prophetic is not just for a few prophetically gifted men and women. It's for everybody in this body. God does speak. We need to get in the habit of listening. We need to ask. We need to seek. We need to knock on the doors of heaven. Why don't you...